Well, good morning, everyone. I'm very excited to be here. As I said, my name is Nadine. I was at Bible College with Jen, and Jen managed to escape it. I've stayed on to do my master's. While I'm doing that, I work for a youth organisation called Limitless, which is the youth and children's ministry of Ealing Pentecostal Churches. And it's my privilege and my pleasure to try and raise up the next generation of Limitless youth and disciples. So you might be able to tell from my accent, I'm not from around here. I am from the northeast. I am from a place called Stockton on Tees. If you're not sure what I'm saying, please feel free to ask someone around you. Type it in the chat. We don't type with an accent. That's okay. I completely understand. Try and bear with it. Well, I was really excited when I got asked to come and speak, when I heard that the topic was all about how we are the church, you are the church. I was really excited because it's a topic that is so, so close to my heart. It's one of my biggest passions, is helping us as the church wake up and realize that the church isn't someone who's employed for ministry. It's me and it's you. And so I'm going to try and continue that series today as we look at what does it mean to be the army of God. And I want to talk to you from the title, Stand Your Ground. Stand Your Ground. I'm just going to pray quickly. If you want to join me, Jesus, we thank you that you're here. I thank you that you've got a word that you want to speak to every single person here. I pray that any words that I say that are my own that will fade away, God, but the word that is from you will remain. God, I pray that you'll help us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it. And as we leave, we really put into action the word that we hear from you. Amen. Well, a couple of summers ago, I decided to do something social. You can tell it was before COVID happened. And I decided to go and try a new water sport, which was called hot dogging. Probably not what you're thinking of. The food probably would have been a lot nicer. And so I arrived with some of my friends. I hadn't told them about it. I booked it in. And then when I turned up, I kind of told them, because it was too late for them to back out at that point, they had to do it with me. And so basically, hot dogging is a bit like a blow-up kayak that you sit in, and you go around this, like the whitewater rapids at quite a high pace, and you try and just go through the obstacles together. And I thought it looked a lot of fun. So I booked my friends in, we rocked it up, I didn't tell them about it. They kind of definitely panicked, but at that point they had wetsuits on, we were ready to go. I went out to join the rest of the class, and as I arrived, we realized I'd accidentally booked the children's class. I was there with all these like children around me. All my friends were going to Dean. You know this means you've got to like go nicely, play easily, because I'm quite competitive. I was eyeing up my competition. I thought I can take them. I've got this. And so I was ready to go. And then before we started, the instructor said, before we let you out on these boats to go racing around the obstacle course, you've just got to quickly do a swimming test. I thought, yeah, that's fine. I used to do a lot of swimming growing up. I was always, you know, probably my parents were just like, it'll tire her out. Always in the pool swimming. I thought, I've got this. Probably didn't realize that the last time I went swimming, I was probably 11, the same as these children. And so I let the children go first because you've got to eye up your competition. You know, you've got to know what you're up against. They went, they started swimming, and you kind of jumped in the water. You had basically get back to shore. It wasn't really that hard. It's kind of, you had a couple of meters, you had to swim with the tide coming against you. The 11-year-olds jump in, they swim, they're out. Next one jumps in, they swim, they're out. Next one jumps in, swim, they're out. They're great. This is easy for them. It comes to my turn. I jump in, I swim, and I'm swimming. And I'm swimming again, and I'm thinking, I bet they all think I should be in the Olympics at this point. Like, I am swimming with all my might. And then I have a little look up to realize I have made no progress whatsoever. Like, the tide is so strong, I realize I actually, as much as I'm swimming, I'm not getting anywhere. So I try to swim a little bit harder, and I try to just push a little bit stronger, and I'm like, I can do it, I can go faster, and I'm swimming and swimming. And at this stage now, panic's starting to set in when I realize I'm not making any progress, and I've got visions of my mind of being swept out to sea and becoming the next Jonah, and I'm kind of panicking. I started trying to shout for help, and then the lifeguard clearly had selective hearing, and a cry for help was not in that radar. He was off places, and I was panicking at this point that I was going to be swept away. And this little guy comes around in this boat, just casually passing, and he looks at me and he goes, Nadine, just stand up. And as I slowly begin to stand up, I realize that the water probably went just below my knee. And I kind of really embarrassedly walk back to all the group of children, realizing this was not for me. And as I was planning this talk, God reminded me of that story because I think that's a picture of what the church looks like today. I think often the tide hits us, life hits us, COVID comes around the corner, finances go a bit wrong, marriage gets hard, whatever it is that you're in, and we start struggling. And what we do is we try to work a bit harder. We try to do a little bit more. But I believe that God sent me here this morning to say, hey, I don't want you to work harder. I don't want you to do more. What I want you to do is to listen and trust in my command. I believe that too many of us are beginning to shrink back in places where we've been commanded to stand. See, I don't know what your battlefield is. I don't know where you're struggling. I don't know what you're facing when you leave these doors. But I do know that God has placed an assignment upon your life to stand and to fight and advance his kingdom there. We don't have to obey completely in order to, sorry, we don't have to, we do have to obey completely. We don't have to understand completely in order to obey immediately. We hear about Noah. He was sent to build a boat before he'd ever seen rain. He didn't understand, but he could obey. We think of people like Abraham who prayed for a miracle child, has Isaac, and then is sent to put him on an altar. He doesn't understand, but he can obey. I think of Simon, who was been fishing all night, caught absolutely nothing. And then Jesus says, hey, go fish. He's like, I don't understand what you're telling me to do. I've tried it, but I'll obey. And I believe that this morning, too many of us have exchanged when God called us to wear combat boots ready to be in the trenches for some slippers in our front room. We've spiritually sat back. We've spiritually sunk back. And I believe that God is saying, hey, we need to stand in the ground that we've been given. And we need to stop using those little life rings that we've been used to throw to other people and to help them out. And stop sitting on it and like a little rubber ring going round the rapids ourselves. And so I want to look at 3 points quickly to help us move from being soldiers that are maybe sat in the reserve to being soldiers that are actively serving God's army. So I want to look at what does it mean to have an assignment? What is our assignment? How do we locate our ground? And how do we use our weapons? Growing up in church, I've often heard many, many Christians have big opinions about what the church should do. The church should give more to the poor. The church should be discipling the next generation. The church should have a kids program for my kid to be in. The church should, and I don't know what you fill in the blank with. We have some big opinions about what we think the church should be doing. But I kind of felt a little nudge this week of God saying, hey, this series is about how we are the church. And therefore, whatever we could fill that blank is, isn't what the church should be doing. It's what we as the church should be doing. Hey, you should be giving to the poor. Hey, you should be discipling the next generation. Hey, you should be going and being the hands and feet and making disciples and telling your neighbors all about Jesus. We are the church, and therefore the mission that God has given the church is the mission that we have. Our assignment is to be the church wherever we are. I love that in the reading we were given, in verse 12, it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, our struggle. Not the church leaders struggle, not the people who are employed struggle, not the struggle of some Christians in the early church, the our struggle, my struggle, your struggle, the struggle of every Christian, every believer all across the world is invited into the same battle. And as soldiers, we are accountable and responsible to follow the commands that we're given without complaining, without resisting, without being half-hearted. We're accountable to be able to fulfill what it is that God says. In John 14, 15, it says this. It says, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. We can make it really complicated about what it means to be a Christian, what you've got to do. But God just says, hey, just love me and the rest will follow. Hey, if you love me, you'll start to do what it is that I want to do because your desires will align with God's desires. And I want to quickly look at one of the commands that we've been given, which is often referred to as the Great Commission. It's in Matthew 28. I'm going to read from 18 to 20, and it says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Our assignment is to love God, because when we love God, we obey what God's commanded us to do. And when we obey what God's commanded us to do, we will go and teach the commandments to others. I wonder, who are you discipling? Who are you teaching the commandments to? Maybe it's a child, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a colleague. Who are we discipling in our world? Because it's our responsibility to be teaching the commands. And if we're not teaching the commands, we need to back up a little bit and think, are we obeying the commands? And if we're not, we need to back up a little bit and think, how's my relationship with God doing? Because when we love God, we'll obey the commands, and from that, we will teach the commands. I think so often our Christians don't often look like our Christ. We have a God who stood. We have a God that fought for us. We have a God that fought injustice. We have a God that fought for a relationship with us. We have a God that fought for forgiveness and for reconciliation and for love. And we have a God that stood up and fought. But so often Christians can sit back. We can delegate. We don't really want the assignment on our life. We can say, oh, some people who are in the church can do it. Oh, that ministry is not for me. Other people can do it. Oh, I'll change job because those colleagues were too hard to tell Jesus to. We can often delegate when I really believe that God is saying it's time for us to stand up, because we can only live out our assignment when we know, we can only, sorry, live our assignment and take ground when we choose to accept this mission. I believe that every single person has been given a ground in their life. Every single one of us has been given, I don't know what's in your ground. I don't know what it is that's in your week to week. Maybe it's children, maybe it's colleagues, maybe it's a workplace, maybe it's a sports team, maybe it's a place of study. I don't know what you have that God has entrusted you with. But I believe that we've all been given a battleground. We've all been given places that God is asking us to stand and fight for his kingdom here to come through. You know, I look after some children after school every day. And the other day, one of the girls is just, she's 5 years old. And she came into our house and she stood on, it's a townhouse, it's three floors. She stood on one of the top floors and she looked out the window and she says, Nadine, why does your garden not look like your neighbor's garden? Because my neighbours, they love gardening. I mean, their grass is beautiful. They plant all of the beautiful flowers. Clearly, you can tell how much I know about gardening. They plant them all. It's like landscape garden. They invest in their garden. And mine, well, I live with three other people who all work quite a lot. And our garden probably reflects that it's not a priority. And as she looked, she was like, why does your garden not look like theirs? And every excuse came to me that I could have said. But at the end of the day, the ground wasn't the problem. We shared half of the same ground. The problem was my investment. I didn't count the planting stuff in my garden as a priority. And I think that so often we have, as Christians, we've been entrusted ground, but we don't often pay attention to what it is that God's entrusted us with, and we really don't realize the potential that is within it. And often we can end up praying for God to change that which he's empowered us to change ourselves. There's no point me sitting inside praying for God to pull the weeds out of my garden when he's going, hey, I've given you the health to do it. I've given you the trowel to do it. Go do it yourself. I'm not going to just pray for God to fix some stuff that God's saying, hey, I've empowered you to go do it. I find that as Christians, often when we lose ground, it's not because we've had a spiritual attack. Far more often, it's because as soldiers, we've gotten a little bit tired. We've gotten a little bit lazy. We've started to just cross our hands and put our feet up. We've started to not be obedient and not live out our assignment in the ground that God's entrusted us with. I want to read a verse to you from, well, a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34, and it says this. It says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who had no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere, the ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come at you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. See, it doesn't say a lot of sleep and a lot of slumber. It says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little, oh, someone else can do it. A little, oh, that's not really my job. I won't be the one to correct that. God says, hey, if you don't fight to clear your ground, then I really think the enemy will begin to bring apathy in. Because us sitting back and not fighting for God's kingdom in wherever we are is not neutral. It's actually allowing the enemy to advance. I don't have to plant weeds. They will just come up automatically. I don't have to go and plant hurt in our world. It will just come up automatically. So when we refuse to stand and fight for what God has assigned us to, it doesn't mean that no work is done. It means that we're losing ground. I live in a place called Malvern, and I've lived there for 3 years. I did my undergraduate degree there. And I'll be really honest, I really wasn't a fan of the place. I really didn't like it. And when I finished Bible college, I said to God, God, I will go anywhere, preferably like Hawaii or somewhere, but I will go anywhere. Just please not Malvern. That was my one criteria. I was like, God, I'll do anything. I just don't want to live in Malvern. And as you might have been able to guess, God called me to Malvern. God really clearly spoke to me that Malvern was the place he was asking me to join a team and plant a church. And for a while, I really wrestled with it. I'll be honest, the first few months, I had a bad attitude. I was like, God, I'm in Malvern, but I'm not enjoying it. If you want to call me out of it. And I just complained about the place. Every time I spoke to someone, they probably knew I didn't want to be in Malvern. It was all over me that this is ground I've been entrusted with, but it's ground I don't want. And God really, really strongly challenged me on it and said, hey, Nadine, this is where I've called you. You need to accept the assignment and you need to do it well. And so I tried to change my perspective. I prayed for God to give me a heart for Malvern. I started all of a sudden just dragging my feet of walking around to going, hey, I am God's missionary here in Malvern. I mean, when I say it wasn't just my attitude that changed, I'm talking about like I went to a beautician. I know I live a high life. And I had a facial. And instead of like just sort of enjoying it for that hour, I was like, I've got an assignment on this hour to tell this lady about Jesus. Now we meet up for coffee every week and she's probably going to start an Alpha Corsa. I had an assignment on my life that, hey, I do enjoy watching a bit of TV sometimes on an evening when I get in. And so now every Tuesday evening when Bake Off's on, we invite our friends and the people who don't know Jesus to come have dinner with us. And then afterwards we watch Bake Off together and we have a moment where we tell them about the love of God. We invite them into our home and we show hospitality in a way they've never seen before. I have an assignment on my life to stand shoulder to shoulder with all the other Christians that I'm planting the church with and for them to know they're not in their ground alone. And so I go into their workplaces and I get to know their colleagues and I take their colleagues out for dinner and I want them to know they're not the only Christian fighting for their life. I'll join you in this battle. And when I say my perspective on Malvern has changed, it has transformed. I'm now praying God does not move me away from Malvern. Because I've got a heart for the people there that is so different. I'm seeing God work there in a way that I've never seen God work before, not because the ground is different, but because my perspective is different. I've accepted assignment there. I believe it could be the same for you here. I believe that God wants to do stuff here in Eastleigh, but he needs you to rise up. He needs you to start accepting the assignment you have with your friends in your workplace. He needs you to start standing and fighting for what God has given you. You see, I think apathy helps us to sit down, but passion makes us stand up. And often God will use the things that we were praying he will take away to show the world who he is through us. And so I think sometimes we need to stop complaining about the ground we've been given, stop trying to change the ground we've been given, but accept our assignment that we have on the ground we've been given. And thirdly, I want to look at how do we know the weapons? How do we know what God is? How do we fight like the way God has asked us to? I don't think the enemy minds us coming to church at all, but I think he does mind when we start being the church. I think when we actually accept the assignment and start fighting with the spiritual weapons that God has empowered and given to us, that's when he starts panicking. You see, in the same way that when I was swimming and I was trying to make progress, all I was doing was trying to fight one wave at a time. No part of me stood up and walked along to the wave machine and just turned it off. I think often in the church, we kind of play like whack-a-mole with the enemy. You know, like the mole pops up, we see it, we hit it. The next one pops up, we see it, we hit it. The next one pops up, we see it, we hit it. We're going after the problems, but we don't go after the symptom. I feel God saying, hey, just go turn the machine off. And so how do we do it? Well, we put the armor of God on. It says, hey, make sure your loins are girded with truth. You need a breastplate, which is called righteousness. You want to move forward successfully, you need to make sure your feet are covered and prepared with the gospel of peace. The flaming missiles of the enemy are coming, so you need a shield which will be your faith. There'll be lies and strongholds, so you need to protect your mind with a helmet that is going to be your salvation. You'll need a sword, so when the enemy's in your space, the sword that it talks about is more of a dagger, it's like 18 inches, it's something small. When the enemy's up close and personal, you're going to need something, and that's going to be the word of God. And those are the six that we hear so often, but I think there's a seventh in there that's missed, because it closes and it says, hey, and in all occasions, pray. Prayer is a spiritual weapon we've been given. And I really believe that it's only time when we start putting on the armor of God and we start saying, hey, I'm not fighting the physical battles and whacking them down. Spiritually, I'm going in and I'm going to pray for the people that are around me and I'm going to pray for the community around me that we'll start to see difference happen. I don't think the enemy can defeat us if he can never disarm us. And often in churches, we turn around and start disarming each other. We treat each other like they're the enemy. We treat our boss like they're the enemy. We treat our parents. We treat all those around us like they're the enemy. And it's just whack-a-mole. We're just going after stuff that isn't the real issue. And so I believe that God has really sent me here with an assignment to say, hey, it's time that as the church, we wake up. We accept our assignment. We know our ground and we stand up and fight spiritually that which other people might not be able to see because they're fighting the physical. So, hey, I'm going to close in a prayer. And if maybe for you, you're thinking, I want to be a part of the army of God. I'm a believer, but I've maybe sat back. I've maybe not really been fighting and being what God wants me to be where I am. I'd love to pray with you too. Maybe you just want to say, hey, this week I'm going to be so intentional. I'm going to go and I'm going to think about who am I discipling? I'm going to go away and I'm going to think about, hey, what can I do? What is the ground that God's entrusted me with? Write a list about it. How am I going to show Jesus in those areas? What has God put a passion on my heart for to stand up and to fight for? I'm going to pray with you. So, hey, if you want to join me in that prayer, you can just put your hands in front of you. If you're at home, you're more than welcome to join in as well. And I'm going to close in the prayer. Jesus, I thank you that you are our commander. And I thank you for the privilege that we have of being invited to join into this battle with you. And God, I pray that you will help us to fully accept our assignment and to be your hands and feet wherever we are. I pray that we will acknowledge our ground, that we know what you've entrusted with us and that we will steward it well, that we will stand up strong for you wherever we are. And I pray that you will help us to use the spiritual weapons that you've empowered us with. So God, I ask that we really do leave this room changed, that it's not a cliche that we say, but it's a truth we live by, that we will stop asking other Christians to do that which you called us to do. So God, be with us. Speak to us still as we leave. And I pray that most of all, you'll help us to be your hands and feet, your army here on earth. Amen.